Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. Hey, we got a big day coming up. How many know somebody that's not saved? How many know somebody that's maybe got away from the Lord? How many know somebody that's just not in church and they need to be? Hey, listen, we got a roundup day coming up here in a few weeks, and it's time to round them all up, okay? And I'm just believing God to move big time. I'm believing Him to save people and touch people's lives. How about you? Are you praying with me about that? I said, are you praying with me about that? Well, we can start, can't we? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And what we're going to do, if you bring at least 10 or more people, I get to have dinner with you. Huh? Well, that wasn't very exciting. Huh? Man. If you don't get more excited than that, I'll make you pay. How about that? If you bring 10 or more people, I get to have dinner with you. Oh, okay, okay. Somebody told me the other day, said, I just feel guilty about having you pay for my dinner for bringing 10 people because I ought to be bringing them anyway. And I said, well, why don't you just get the 10 here and then we can sort out the rest. How about that? What we're going to do on that day, just for information, we'll give everybody a sheet. If you bring 10 people, instead of trying to get 10 cards filled out, we'll have a sheet of paper for you. And if you'd help us get your 10, get their name, address, phone number, and probably their age, so we know if you do that for us, and then that way we'll have a record. And sometimes it's hard when we got the building full. It's hard to get cards on everybody, okay? So if you'd help us with that, you say, well, why are you doing that? Well, we're doing that so somebody can call them the next week or two, and somebody can pay a little attention to them, and somebody can love them up a little bit. And if you'll help us with that, we'll tell you that every Sunday probably, but help us with that, and we'll be able to do some follow-up, because I just believe there's hundreds of people out here that are wanting to go to church, and they don't know where to go to church, and we might as well show them where to go to church, hadn't we? Yeah. Hadn't we? Praise the Lord. I'm going to read something to you out of 1 Samuel, but I'm believing God, if you'd like to, you know, it takes a lot of money to put on Roundup. It takes about $10,000, But last year we had about 40 or so saved, so I guess it was worth that, wasn't it? But if you'd like to help with that expense, I would appreciate it. I'm believing God to pay for it before we even have it. We already have gotten up somewhere between 1,000 and 2,000 of it. I already have another 1,000 pledged, and anything you can do to help, you know, would be appreciated. How about if 10 people came down and got saved and you helped pay for that day? How cool would that be, huh? You'd get some credit, wouldn't you? How about if 20 people got saved? Well, let's don't stop there. What if 30 people got saved? You know, well, what if 40 people got saved? I mean, what are we going to do when all of Joplin gets saved? So I just don't know, but I do. They're going to all get saved, man. I'm telling everybody I see, aren't you? Oh, we got to tell them about Jesus. Well, let me read this. Y'all okay? 1 Samuel 30. Now David and his men, they've been out to battle, and they're coming back from battle to their hometown of Ziklag, and they find their town burned, and all their families and all their possessions stolen, all their families kidnapped, and this is a little account of it. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there. from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but they carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until there was no more power to weep. Pretty sad, huh? David's wives were taken captive, and six says, now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the souls of all the people were grieved or bitter, every man for his son and his daughter. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. Your King James Version will say he encouraged himself in the Lord. Then David told the priest, he said, bring me the ephod. Bring it here. And the priest brought it to him. And so David, it says, David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, the Lord answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Verse 9 says, so David went. Verse 10 says, and David pursued. Holy Spirit, help me say something today from Father's heart. We all know this story. We've probably, if you've been saved very long, you've heard bunches and bunches of sermons preached on it. But this came in my mind the other day, so I looked it up, and I began to study it and read it and meditate on it. And how many has ever just been at a place in your life? That phrase, it says they cried until there was no more power to cry. And David got so discouraged. I don't know. I've been to the place to where you cry and there's not any more tears. And when you're at a place like that, there's only one that can help you. There's only one, and his name's Jesus. But David got discouraged. There was a tool sale. The devil had a tool sale. And he had all his tools lined out on the date of the sale, and he had prices on them. People started coming to this sale, and they could just see these tools laid out everywhere with prices on them. And there were tools like there was hatred, there was one of envy, jealousy, deceit, lying, pride, and we could go on and on, but these tools are all laid out. And somebody looked, and way back over in the corner, there was one, a real worn tool, and it was priced real high. And they asked the devil, they said, what's the name of that tool? And he said, that's discouragement. They said, well, how come it's so high? How come it costs so much? He said, that's the tool I use more than anybody else or any other tool. He said, I can use that tool. And he said, if I can pry open the heart of men, if I can pry that open and get in there, then I can cause them to do anything I want them to do. He said, well, how come it's so worn? And he said, because I use it more than any other tool I have. How many's ever been discouraged? Maybe you came in that way this morning. David was that way in this story. He was so discouraged. He was so discouraged. As I looked at this, though, I began to think about something. You know, the big objective wasn't to burn Ziklag. It wasn't just to steal all the goods. The big objective here wasn't for David just to have another battle. You see, the thing about this story is this happened just a few days before David stepped in to his destiny. It happened just a few days before he was anointed king. And as bad as this battle was, as bad as it was for your town to be devastated, we've seen that here, haven't we? As bad as it was to lose everything that you have, and some of us have had that happen to us. As bad as it was to have all your family taken, that wasn't the biggest battle. So you see, David was about to step in his destiny. He didn't know that. He didn't know that it was finally going to be time. For all he knew, he was going to be fighting Saul for another 50 years. He didn't know, but it was right at the time he was supposed to get the answer from God. It was right at the time he was supposed to step into that place that God had called him to when he was just a young man. And this last front, this last battle, was one last attempt to stop David from stepping into what God had for him. You know, the truth is, I've learned that it's always the darkest right before the dawn. Some of you wouldn't know that, but if you wake up early and go outside and sit, you'll find that out. It always gets darker right before the sun comes up. The temperature will drop off a few degrees right before the sun comes up. Somebody says, well, I'm just going to take your word for that, Hank. That's okay. It's always looks worse before the storm. You know, it always, the enemy's going to try to stop everything God wants to do in our life. And the truth is, he knows that he can't stop God from doing it. He knows he can't stop God from blessing. He knows he can't stop God from doing everything he wants to do. But he also knows that if he can get inside of us, he can cause us to not receive it. If he can just get me to quit, if he can just get me to give up, if he can just get me to let my guard down, then he can stop what God's got for me. How many has ever been discouraged? You just been down and you just thought, I'm just tired of fighting this. I'm just going to give up. I'm just going to quit. And something rose up inside of you and you said, well, no, I'm not going. I'm going to hang on a while longer. And it just was right around the corner whenever God's blessing came to you, right around a few more steps, a few more minutes, and here came what you'd been believing God for. You know, Peter said the enemy, the devil, goes around like a roaring lion, seeing who he can devour. If he can get you, he will. But you know, we don't have to let him. Huh? It's our choice. And it's not your strength, it's just your choice. Huh? God never called you to fight the devil. He never called me to fight the devil. He said, resist him and he'll flee. I don't have to fight the devil. You don't have to fight the devil because Jesus already fought him. You know what I'm learning? I'm learning just to back up into the crevice of that rock and watch the Lord move. Huh? I'm learning to just get in Jesus and watch what happens. And I just started saying stuff out loud. If you're around me and see me driving down the road or see me walking through the store or something and I'm talking and there's nobody around me, don't you worry about it. I haven't gone off the deep end, you know. Well, I guess I have, but I jumped off on God's end, man. And I've just started speaking that stuff. I don't just think it now. I just speak it out loud, man. He raises something up in front of me, and I'm going to just go, that ain't working. You ain't fooling with me. Get out of here. You know, it just something happens. I say, well, I don't know. I don't know what to do. But, boy, Holy Spirit, you do, and I'm full of you. And, you know, you can give me the knowledge and the wisdom I need. And it really doesn't matter what this mountain looks like. I can speak your word to it, God, and this mountain will crumble. If I can just believe in my heart. And I just look, and sometimes it gets in the pressure and stuff intensifies. Anybody, am I talking to anybody? It intensifies. And what I'm learning to do is I just back up and I say, hey, you remember my big brother? His name's Jesus. You want that part of me? You go get him. You know what? Something starts changing. Why? Well, because I'm not just saying that out of my head. I'm saying that out of my heart, because I know in whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep me. I'm persuaded that he's able to finish that work in me that he started. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what it feels like. If I ask him, I know he hears me, because he loves me. Huh? See, you have to do that on purpose. It says David encouraged himself in the Lord. You have to come to a place in your life where you start doing that. You start talking to the devil. You start quoting the word. You start believing what it says. You start seeing it manifest in your life. Encouraged himself in the Lord. He just started saying what God says. He just started remembering past victories. I love old David, man. He's like me. I wasn't like him. I wasn't the warrior he was, but a lot of the characteristics fit a lot of us, doesn't it? I mean, he was up one day and down the next, man. I mean, he was, you know, and I love to read the Psalms. You read them, and he'll start one off, and he'll go, "Oh Lord, the enemy's after me, and all this stuff's coming from every side, and all this thing's happening." But before that Psalm's over, he's going, "But you, God, you're more than enough. But you've taken care of him. But you, Father, you've always delivered me, and you're going to deliver me this time too. You've always been there for me, and you're going to be there this time also." Whew. I'm about to get excited, Max. Whew, I'm telling you what, the joy of the Lord will be strength for you. But sometimes you have to encourage yourself. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I appreciate when somebody encourages me. I was going through the crowd this morning. You want to have a shot at being discouraged? Come speak a message on discouragement. Huh? You think he's just going to lay down and let stuff happen? You think he's just going to lay down and let me tell you this stuff? You think he's just going to lay down and let you hear it? No, he's going to try to stop you. Some of you already started thinking. You started thinking about problems you had. You started thinking about what the mess you had before you came in. You started thinking about something else, and you're just now tuning in to me, and you're trying to figure out, well, what's Pastor talking about today? See, I know. I've sit out there too. I know how it goes. Why? Well, because he doesn't want you to hear. He doesn't want you to be encouraged. He doesn't want you to find out who you are in Christ. He doesn't want you to receive all God's got for you. He doesn't want you to walk in that power and anointing, because you're a danger to him when you do. Well, I've got news for you, devil. We got a whole bunch of folk around here, and we're getting up. We're getting up out of the ashes. We're getting up out of the old dead mess. We're getting up. It might look bad. It might look like a storm, but we're speaking to that storm, and it's moving, because we got Jesus. Oh, what I started to say. I appreciate it when somebody encourages me. And I was going through the crowd this morning, and people were encouraging me. They didn't know they were, but they were saying things that encouraged me. And, you know, and one girl even said, "Well, you smell good." And I thought, well, I've had a lot of people tell me I stink. So that encouraged me, you know. That encouraged me. But you know, and that's great. And how many like it when somebody encourages you? But can I tell you something? There's going to be some times in your life when you're wanting somebody to encourage you, but nobody there to encourage you. It isn't because they don't want to encourage you. It's because the devil's doing something to them, and they're facing things and everything, and they just don't think to encourage you. You want to be encouraged all the time? Just go around and start encouraging others. Huh? Just start encouraging people. Just, man, you see somebody and they're not smiling. Hey, if I walk up to you and you're not smiling, I'm just determined you're going to be smiling before I walk away. Huh? Even you, Troy. Okay. But there's just going to be some time that there's not going to be anybody there. And you got a choice then. You can get mad. Well, nobody likes me down there. Nobody cares about me. That isn't it. We got an enemy. And you know, sometimes you just got to encourage yourself. Huh? Sometimes you got to pick yourself up by the bootstraps. Huh? Because the devil doesn't want you to ever be encouraged. He knows what will happen if that joy starts growing in there. You'll get so strong, you'll take care of him without not even thinking about it. He doesn't want that to happen. When we depend on people, see, David couldn't depend on people. They're the guys that he just came back from battle with. Turned on him, wanting to stone him because things weren't going good. Because nobody spoke to me today. Because nobody shook my hand. Because nobody, you know. These are the same guys that came to him in the cave. We labeled David's mighty men. And they wanting to stone him. Huh? He got discouraged. But it said he encouraged himself. You know, if you find yourself in that place, the first thing you got to do, you got to make up your mind. I'm not staying here. I mean, have you ever been in a pit? I've been in a pit that's so deep it felt like a grave, man. I mean, you know. Ever just been in a tough time? You know, we've all been at those places. But we don't have to stay there. You know, see, and if you're dependent on somebody else to do something, let me explain it this way. Like Ricky said, I got some splaining to do. My relationship with God isn't based on you. My relationship with God is based on Him. And so if I can develop that, if I can develop that relationship with Him, then when you do things, they don't affect me. They don't bother me because my relationship's not built on you. Now, our relationship with God depends on our relationship with each other. I can't have a relationship with Him if I don't like you. Huh? But understand what I'm saying. Whether I'm going to stand or fall isn't going to be determined by you. Huh? Whether I'm going to serve God or not, it's not determined by you. It's not determined by how the music is. It's not determined by if the preaching's good. It's not determined on if everybody came and talked to me today. No, it's dependent on what Jesus Christ did, and I receive what He did, and that's the end of it. Now, all these other things affect us, and they're all part of our lives. But what I'm trying to say is, I guess, is see, if you're in a pit, and everybody said you've been there, you have to make a decision, I'm not staying here. The psalmist says he'll come down in the pit, and he'll pull you up out of the pit, and he'll put your feet on solid ground, and he'll put a new song in your heart, he'll put some praise in your mouth, and everybody will look at you and go, "Woo! He belongs to God." But you got to make a decision. I don't want to stay here. He's not going to come down in the pit and stay with you. He's not a pit dweller, man. He's not going to go down there and stay with you. He'll come down and get you. You want out of this mess, Hank? Yes, uncle. Well, then come on. And if you'll listen and pay attention, when he pulls you up out of that pit, when he pulls you up out of there, he'll show you and instruct you and teach you how to not get back in it. So many of us, man, we just spend our whole life jumping in the same pits. I had somebody come up to me the other day and said, "Would you pray with me about this?" And I said, well, yeah, I will. And I started to pray, and I said, hold it. I said, isn't this the same thing we prayed about 2 years ago? Well, yeah, the devil's just after me. I said, the devil's not after you. You just haven't made a choice that you want it to be different. You just got to make a choice. You just got to make a decision. Well, they don't like that, and they don't come ask me to pray for them anymore. But listen, if you come to me and want me to pray for you, come to me wanting me to use some faith to get you over the hump, to get you to the next place, to get you healed. Don't come to me asking me to pray so you can get some sympathy for me, because sympathy will kill us. Faith will save us. And whoever will call on the name of the Lord, and if you'll confess Him with your mouth and believe in your heart, you'll be saved. Not just go to heaven saved, but you'll be saved out of everything that the enemy's trying to do in your life, out of every situation you find yourself in. Well, I guess we'll just scrap these notes because it's going better without them. How about that? Look at the person next to you and say, he's going to keep on talking till you smile, so would you hurry? Oh, y'all are greatest people in the world. I don't just say that. I tell everybody that, man. So, man, if they'll put up with me, they're good people, man. Good people. Praise the Lord. He encouraged himself. I love what it says he did. He sought God. He sought God. And I loved it when, I love what Isaiah says. Isaiah says that God knows the ending from the beginning. Can I tell you something? He already knows the ending of your situation. Huh? He already knows. He already knows what He's got planned for you. He already knows what He wants to give you, what He wants to do in your life. He already knows where He wants you to be. He already knows His will for your life. He just wants you to want it and go after it. I love that story because David goes to God. I mean, here he is. He's all discouraged. And so he encourages himself. I don't know what all he did, but he probably started remembering things that God had done for him and battles he'd been in and how God delivered him. I was reading in Samuel there. One time he hadn't been out here very long fighting. He got discouraged. And he goes to the priest. And the priest says, well, I've got the... And the priest walks back and pulls the sword off that David cut Goliath's head off with and came and gave him the sword and gave him some food and stuff. And I'm just thinking, man, isn't God something else? The priest didn't say, oh, poor David, oh, this and that. No, he just went and got the sword, and old David grabbed that sword, and he said, man, I remember when I killed that giant. I can kill this giant too. Huh? Man, that's what testimonies are supposed to be. When you give a testimony, it's not to let everybody know all your woes and, oh, poor me, and, oh. You know, I hate testimonies when we give 15 minutes to the devil and 15 seconds to God. Huh? I don't want to hear about all your bad. I want to hear about all the good He did in your life, man. Hey, we can have a pity party. We can all join in. We all got some stuff to contribute. Huh? But boy, I'm telling you what, we can ride on the high places of the earth if we want to, because we got a Jesus that already conquered. He already whipped. He already beat. He already did everything we need. We just have to use our faith and believe Him for it. So he sought the Lord. And I love it when he sought the Lord. okay. He says... Did you notice David gave himself the answers? David already had the answers in his heart. He said, do you want me to go after the enemy? Do you want me to pursue him? Do you want me to get back everything that was stolen? What did God say? Yes. Go. Get it. Take it. I'll make sure it works. Go. I love that. You know, the truth is, you got the answers inside of you. Huh? You might not want to hear them because see, you know, the only thing you got to do to lose is just do nothing. Huh? Steve, just lay on the couch and eat potato chips, huh? Only thing you got to do to not make it is just don't do anything. But James says you resist him and he'll flee. You commit your ways to the Lord and resist the devil and he'll flee. Huh? You already got some answers in you. You already got the answers in you to know how to get out of this problem you got in. Because the last time you were in it, the Holy Spirit told you, and you didn't want to pay attention then, and you don't want to pay attention now, but if you'll just go ahead and just push all that out of the way and say, okay, guilty, guilty. I just have to tell God, I don't go to God like, well, now I've really done something. I go to God like, whoo, God. You talk about a mess up. I'm a mess up. But, you said you wanted somebody that's after your heart. And God, I want your heart. I love you with every fiber of my being. I don't know how to do it. I don't know. I don't do half the stuff I'm supposed to do. But I love you. And he goes, get out of the way, everybody. I'm going to perform big for him. He does for you, but you won't get that frown off your face and receive. If you just smile, and when the pressure gets bigger, let the smile get bigger. Huh? When the battle intensifies, just stop and start laughing. You have the devil so confused, he won't know what to do, because everything he's been doing that worked on you isn't working anymore. He'll quit it and he'll start trying something else. He said, Lord, should I? And God said, well, yeah. See, you know what to do. He said, well, I just don't know everything to do. You don't have to know everything to do. Just do what you know to do. Just start. See, it's a decision. I don't know where we're going, God, but I'm going your way. I don't know how, but I'm taking this first step. I don't know how this happens, but I believe you anyway. I don't have to see, I don't have to feel, I don't have to smell, I don't have to taste. You said it. I believe it. Now don't shout me down just because I'm preaching good stuff here. But he sought the Lord, and I love what that next verse says. He said, should I go after him, God? And he said, yes, go after him. Young people, go after him. Go after everything God's got for you. Go after it. Don't stop. Don't slow down. Just go after it. Well, my mom didn't have it. My parents didn't have it. My grandparents didn't have it. That don't matter. Go after it. If God said it, he'll back it up and he'll cause it to happen in your life. David said, should I go? And God said, well, yeah, go. Go. I mean, that's like saying, God, do you want me? Should I go live in victory? Yeah, go live in victory. Well, God, could I have some more money? Well, yes. Go get it. Yes. I'll make it come to you. Well, God, do you want me to be happy? Yes, go ahead, be happy. Somebody says, well, you look happy today. I said, yeah, and I'm doing it on purpose. And I don't mean to be, you know, a bunch of folks said to me today, said, well, you look good today. And I said, well, yeah, I'm looking good on purpose. I'm doing good on purpose. It's not an accident. I made my mind up when I got up. I was going to do good. So that sounds awful. No, I'm just bragging. I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on Jesus. Jesus says, you want it? I want it. But he asked him, and then it says, David went. You know, I haven't ever had a problem with God doing what I asked him to do. I just always had a problem with doing what he told me to do to get it. I said, God, I want to learn how to make money. I mean, I was a preacher, and I was preaching prosperity, and I'd never made over $300 or $400 a week, and I was preaching prosperity because I heard Copeland preach it and Mac preach it, and I was preaching it, man. I was sitting in a meeting one time teaching a guy to draw circles, and he was a doctor and made hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, and I made maybe 18 if I was lucky, and I'm sitting there telling this guy how to be prosperous. Isn't that the way we are? I mean, I had a Montgomery Ward suit on with a vest that was too tight and the buttons were pulling and I was sweating and I'm sitting in his office and I'm trying to tell him how to prosper. And he lives in this big old mansion and Pam and I lived in a little three-room house and I'm trying to tell this guy how to prosper. Well, he'll tell you what to do. Just do it. I love what it said. It said, God said, and David went. And he didn't just go. He didn't just go through the motion. It said he pursued, man. He went after it on purpose. Huh? You doing good? Yeah, I'm doing it on purpose, man. Huh? I got a choice today. I can do good or I can not do good, and I choose to do good. Somebody says, well, he says, you sure look nice. I said, well, you dress the way you feel. Or you dress the way you want to feel. Huh? Well, think about that one for a while. But he pursued. He went after it. Man, I love Paul. Paul said, man, we're in a race. Said, look to Jesus. He said, we're in a race. Said, lay every weight aside. Lay everything that's holding you back aside and run that race, man. Huh? He told the Corinthian church, he said, I don't fight. He said, I don't run just to be running. I run to win the prize. He said, I'm not out here shadow boxing, just beating the air. He said, when I swing, I expect to hit something. Woo! Your enthusiasm's wiping me out today. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He ran. Get some purpose in your life, man. Yeah, I'm going to live for God, and I'm going to do it on purpose. Yeah, everything down at that church isn't exactly like I want it, so I'm going to get in here and fight, and we're going to make it like we want it. We're going to go after God. We want everything God wants. Woo. Well, what were the results? I'll just skip to the end here, y'all. All right. Most of you are smiling, but I'm gonna try to end it here. But if I see some of you not smiling, I'm going to start back at 1 Samuel 30, verse 1. Okay? What was the result? It says, he recovered all. Huh? And I love it if you read on down in the story. He recovered all. And he didn't just recover all that he'd lost. He took everything the enemy had. Huh? Oh, it's time for some of us to start recovering all. It's time for some of us to start to take back what the enemy stole. Time for some of you to start taking back your health, taking back your wealth, taking back your confidence and your place with God, and realizing you have that place with Him and you're righteous in His sight, not because of you, but because He made you that way. Whoo, glory to God. He recovered all. How many is ready to recover some stuff? Huh? I speak against sickness in here and disease, and I say you leave in Jesus' name. And the anointing is here today for you to be healed. Hallelujah. You can either break a hole in the roof and climb down in that roof, through that roof to where Jesus is, or you can be like the Pharisees and you can reason among yourselves. The children of Israel, they're in the wilderness. And do you realize it took them 40 years to take about a 10-day journey? Huh? And then if you track their retrace their steps, you'll find out they went around this one mountain for 40 years. Instead of going across the Jordan, they went around this same mountain for 40 years. Can I just say something? God said it to Moses when he said, it's time to go in. You're not going to get to take them, but Joshua's going to take them in. But what God said, he says, haven't you encompassed this mountain long enough? Huh? You know what God's saying to you today and saying to me today? Haven't you gone around this mountain long enough? Come on into the promised land. Come on into what I've got for you. Come on into what Jesus paid for. It's all paid for. We might as well get it. I'm just starting to decide I'm tired of the devil's crowd spending my money. Huh? I'm tired of the devil's crowd building bars with it, and churches have to get up and beg for money. It ain't the way it is around here, is it? Huh? And we didn't start off at the top. We start off at the bottom, but that's why I'm praying every day, oh God, bless my people. Bless the givers. Bless them, God. Increase their ability. Touch their lives. Give them more. Bless them more. Let them come closer to you than they've ever been. Let them experience this relationship with you, because it's good. Good. Haven't you gone around that mountain long enough? Let's just quit. Let's just quit. No, I meant the message here. I didn't mean quit. Don't want you to quit. Haven't you? What's your mountain? Have you walked around it long enough? You know, maybe it's been a mountain of discouragement. You see, the devil uses that on just about everybody that'll let him. I just decided I wasn't going to let him use it on me anymore. Huh? Well, Hank, you don't ever get discouraged. I have plenty of chances to, believe me. But you know what I started doing? I just started encouraging myself. I just started believing what God says. I just started, instead of saying and thinking what I'm thinking about myself, I just start saying and thinking what God thinks about me. And you know, after just a little bit, it starts changing. It starts moving. Things in my life start, I get a different perspective. He said, hey, my word, it'll do what I sent it to do. It won't come back to me fruitless. It'll produce what I sent it to produce. It'll do it. How's it come back to him? Well, the main way it comes back to him is I speak it back to him. Huh? Because as it is on earth, as it is in heaven, that's how he wants it to be on earth. So I just start speaking it back to him. Thank you, Father, for my healing. Thank you, Lord, for my prosperity. Thank you, God, that you're a good God. Thank you, God, that you love me. Thank you that this message today doesn't depend on me. It depends on you. Thank you that I have very little to offer, but you have everything to offer. So just let me be somebody you can use. I love it what he said about Joshua. Can you imagine following Moses? I can imagine it. He told Joshua, you get over in about that second chapter or somewhere along in there, and it says, and God made Joshua big in the people's eyes. Huh? See, some of you don't realize it. God has made you so big in some people's lives, you don't even realize it. And you came in here today discouraged. And you know, the thing about when we get discouraged, we want to blame everything else but ourselves. We want to blame everything. David's mighty men wanted to blame him because they were discouraged. Wanted to stone him. Well, joy is an inside job. Peace is an inside job. And if you let discouragement get in there, it'll be an inside job. Hey, the only one that can change my destiny is me. Huh? You don't like the mountain you're going around? You don't like the direction your life's going? Well, then just make a choice today to change it. Just say, God, I want you. I want everything you got for me. I want you. I want to live for you. I want your will to be done in my life. See, the big thing with David wasn't that he was having another battle. The big deal was he was about to step into his destiny in just about 3 more days. He was about to be anointed king. See, you've been believing and waiting, and you were just about to give up before you came in here. But that's what he wants to do. He wants you to give up because your answer's just right around the corner. Some of you will have it before you leave here. Listen, we all get discouraged, but I'm just telling you, we got plenty to be encouraged about. And if you'll just develop that relationship with God and just keep trying to get closer and closer and closer, hey, he'll change you from the inside out. Isn't that good? Yeah, it is, it isn't. Some are nodding, some are doing, some are going like that. Everybody stand. If you're in here today and you don't know you're right with God, we're just going to sing a song here. If you don't know you're right with God, or even if you want to be prayed for about something, maybe you came today and you want to be baptized, whatever it is you need, you come down. If you need to be anointed with oil, you come down here. We'll anoint you and you'll walk out of here healed in Jesus' name. If you need to come for anything, come. Come. Hurry. We're not going to prolong it. Isn't he good? Isn't he good? If you believe it, tell him that right now. Tell him how good he is. Is everybody in here saved? Has everybody in here been baptized in water? If not, this is your chance. Is everybody in here healed? If not, this is your chance. Does everybody in here have all the money you need? If not, this is your chance. Anybody here got a mountain? Then speak to it right now. How many either came in here today discouraged, or you've had an opportunity to be discouraged the last few days, the last week or so? A lot of hands, that's what I thought. Won't you just make a choice right now? Nope, not me. I almost went for it, but I'm not going for it this time. I'm not receiving it this time. No, God, you're too good. You're too good. Let's sing that to him. You're good. You're good. He's good. Woo, isn't he good? Thank you, Jesus. You're so good. You're so great. Oh, I love you, Father. You're so wonderful. You're so mighty. You're so loving. Thank you. Thank you for loving me when I didn't deserve it. Thank you for coming, Jesus, when there wasn't anything good about me. Thank you for coming, Holy Spirit, to lead us closer to our Father. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good. You're so good. You're so good. You're so good. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. When he comes to you after a while or tomorrow and starts that same old tune and starts saying, yeah, but you know, you know how you are. You're just no good. You just unworthy. If you was as sharp as somebody. When he comes, just go, his mercy is forever. I receive it. How about you? Hey, if you still need to come for something, we're down here. We'd be happy to pray with you. But I speak his blessings into you, and I believe him to do big things in your life this day and this week. And we're going to give him all the credit for it, because it's all because of Jesus. And remember, the program isn't on Sunday morning anymore. It's just on Sunday nights. Hey, I love y'all. See you next time.